my friends. Good morning and welcome. You are listening to Thursday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whelan. Very excited to have you with us here today. It is Thursday, July 27, 2006, about 8.01 a.m. here in the Central Time Zone. So, as you know, folks, we are very, very excited to have our guest with us today. Martin Zender will bring him up here in just a minute. Here's how it works. We had him on yesterday. We talked for about 2 hours, laid down some sort of groundwork for his research disproving free will, basically. And it's very controversial. It's very very difficult for a lot of people to consider. Is it important? Well, I think that depends. I think it depends on how you use it, just like anything else. If you use predestination as an excuse to do nothing, then you're worthless. You're just a waste of space. You're not living. You're existing. If you use the rapture idea to do nothing with your life, then same thing. You know, think about it. What if I decided that I wasn't going to do the show anymore? Because hey, what's the point? I'm just going to be everybody who's listening. You know, has ears to hear. They're all going to be raptured out with me. So there's no point in doing things. Or again, the predestination thing. Oh, why go to work? Why try to make a difference? You know, it all depends on how you use it. And I think that again, I'm a firm believer in the predestination thing. I am because I think it's the best thing I've come across so far, and it makes sense, and it seems to be completely scripturally accurate. So I like that idea. As our last caller said yesterday, I like the idea that God is running the show. And why is that? Because it's a big responsibility for any of us to be in charge of our own lives, let alone anyone else's. And it's not a burden I want. Now, I'm not saying I'm not going to take responsibility. Absolutely, I will, and I always have. But I don't want the burden of being responsible for all of my own for my own situations, I guess you could say. I'm not saying, again, kind of like, you know, it's God's going to take care of me. I'm not going to go to work. No, I get up and I go to work. So I do still do things because I think it's the right thing to do. So I don't use the predestination idea as a loophole. I think some people probably do. And they say, hey, man, God's supposed to take care of me. And I was predestined, so I didn't go to work and I got fired. What is this all about? You know, how can this be? God's supposed to hook me up. He didn't do it, so I guess the predestination isn't true. So again, it's all in the manner in which you use information available to you. But like I said, folks, it's an exciting time to have Martin Zender on the program. And obviously, given the fact that we had loaded phone lines all day yesterday while he was here with us, it indicates to me that we're probably going to have a lot of calls today. You're more than welcome to start calling now. Our phone number, 800-313-9443. Toll free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. I want to try to get you know, as many calls in here as we can. And yesterday when I talked to Martin, he said, Frank, I want to make sure that we talk to everybody who wants to talk. I want to make sure that we get some, you know, answers for these people, because that's what he said. That's what I'm supposed to be doing. That's what he said. And I agree. That's what he's doing. And guess what? He got out of bed today. He came on the show today. You know, some might say the predestination thing would give him an out. But, you know, he's here. We can still make a difference. We can still make an impact. We can still do good things with the time we've been given. So the question I ask you is, how are you going to use this time? You can use it to perhaps indulge in hearing some new ideas and getting some new information. Let's do it. 800-313-9443. Martin Zender's website is martinzender.com. You can shoot him an email through there. And we'll come back here in about 3 minutes. We'll bring up Martin and talk about his books and start taking calls. Stay with us.
Friends.
Welcome back, folks. A very exciting Thursday. Our special guest today has written numerous books. You know, I can sit here and tell you how much I think of somebody and how much their work has made a difference in my life. But, you know, I don't know if you'll be able to actually know that. But you're talking to somebody, myself, who came out of Catholicism, where there's not a huge emphasis on Scripture as far as understanding them, but rather sort of an obedience type of thing. Which, you know, has its own place, I suppose. But at the same time, Martin's works have really, really changed my life, changed my thinking. And I can't say enough about him and his books. And I encourage all of you to read them, to pick them up, to tell other people about them, because they are just astonishing. I mean, they really are. Anyway, How to Quit Church Without Quitting God, Martin Zender's Guide to Intelligent Prayer, Martin Zender Goes to Hell, Fly by Design, and the book here today in my hands, autographed, and we'll be giving some away today as well. The Really Bad Thing About Free Will. Ladies and gentlemen, Martin Zender. Welcome back to the show, buddy.
Good morning, Frank.
Hey, man. 2 days in a row.
I'm always thankful to be here talking to you, and I'm thankful for the listeners. I want to say that. Everybody that's Amen. Listening to you today or ever listens to you, is, they're appointed by God to be where they are and to hear what they will. And, you know, it's our job to get the word out, to get the information out, to show you the verses in Scripture. And I think for the most part, our motives are sincere, that this information, it sounds such like a cold word, doesn't mm-hmm. information, but this knowledge of God will bring peace of mind. And that is a rare commodity nowadays. Especially with what's going on in the world, anyone who has peace of mind, people just ask them, what's different about you? Do you know something I don't know? How come you're not upset with the rest of them? And it's this knowledge of what God is doing. That trumps everything. We can learn and learn and learn, but when it comes to knowledge about what God is doing, not only in the world, but in us, there's no substitute for that. There's no drug.
Mm-hmm.
There's no drink, there's no television show that's going to do what this knowledge does. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be here these 2 days that you have provided this forum, not only for me, but for other people. And I see God's hand in all of it. And again, I just thank God for everybody listening today.
Amen. Amen to that. And thank God for you, my friend, because, you know, again, you're tackling a very difficult subject, meaning the Scriptures, because there's always going to be people. I mean, there's a whole probably billion-dollar industry set up to deceptive works with the Scriptures. They're called churches, and they're everywhere, and they make a lot of money, and it's a powerful force to tackle. And you've done it. You've gone out and said, hey, you know what? I'm going to go after them. I'm going to go out there and find the truth, and I'm going to bring it, if it does fly in the face of all of these highfalutin pastors, preachers, and types like that. So it's a difficult thing. It's probably not relatively rewarding in an earthly fashion, but I think the big guy's really proud of you, and I am too.
Well, when I get calls like yesterday, like Diana, who's, you know, this information has changed her life, that just thrills me. The reason I can't stand the church institution is because of what it does to people, how it puts those anvils of weight on people's shoulders. And I thought what Diana said yesterday was so appropriate. You know, and you're telling me now I have to try to please God. Remember, she said she had been in a bad marriage, and I really thought that was amazing when she said, I found that I couldn't please a man, and now I'm supposed to please a God? Please tell me that God is bigger than man. Tell me there's going to be a difference between being in a relationship with my Heavenly Father than there was with my husband or my earthly father. All these disappointments. I'm raising the picture. That's what I wanted to raise, the viewpoint. And anybody that lowers the viewpoint, I get irritated. That's what my taste with the churches are. And they become so big. That right their on. Interest anymore is not to relieve people. Their interest is to sustain themselves. You know, when you start to roll and you get a certain amount of power and your money starts to accumulate, you become more concerned with maintaining yourself than you do in taking care of people. And in God's wisdom, He has made it so that we have a measure of success in what we do, you and I, Frank, but God's not setting us on top of the mountaintop of the world and making us celebrities. And so He's protected us from being defiled like that. And because of that, I think we're still humble and simple for the most part, and we haven't lost sight of the goal, which is to help people.
Well, very, very well said, brother. And again, I'm glad you're here. I don't think anybody does the scriptures better than you do. There's just such a uniqueness and a passion and a joy in it that's so rare. I don't know. I agree with you, though. I think
Speaking of scriptures, can I hit you with one right now?
Yeah.
How much time we got before the next commercial break?
Yeah, about 3-4 minutes.
All right, listen to this. This hit me this morning. No, actually, it didn't hit me. My wife hit me with it.
Oh, all right.
And she said, you have got... She goes, have you talked about this verse yet? And she gave it to me. I said, no, I haven't. I don't think I have. Mm-hmm. But this answers a lot that was going on yesterday.
Okay.
This is Ephesians 2:10. For His achievement are we, being created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God makes ready beforehand that we should be walking in them. That was Ephesians 2:10.
Wow.
The key note there, I think, is His achievement are we.
Mm-hmm.
And it kept ringing in my ears what I heard Bob say yesterday about being disappointed in the fact that God could be doing all this. I really thought about that.
Mm-hmm.
I wasted a lot of water in the shower thinking about that. You know, I was in the shower for 25 minutes thinking about it.
You do your
big
thinking in the shower?
I think that's the guy. I get my best thoughts there.
Yeah.
And so I thought, well, you know, the only way you could be disappointed is if it's in your mind that this is your achievement.
Mm.
And that this your achievement's being taken away. That could be disappointing initially. Now,
yeah.
I'm not saying Bob's going to stay there, because I think that maybe he takes a shower every day, right? One, it is to be hoped.
Yeah.
And I think Bob must be thinking about this,
uh-huh.
about what went on yesterday. Why was I disappointed to hear that God has a handle on everything, is in control of everything? And the only way is if there's an initial shock, I think, that people have when they hear of the scope of God's control. It's taking away some of my achievement, mm. my personal trophy. But we look at this person, it says, His achievement are we. And we live, I think, happy, and we try to do things, as you said at the beginning of the show, because it's His achievement. And we have a huge trophy, and it's called His achievement, are we. What a thing to have. What a thing to be.
Sure.
For God to say, you are my achievement. Oh, man, think about that.
That's pretty impressive.
I'm God's achievement. Isn't that enough to get you up in the morning and give you hope and keep you going? Sure, it takes away my pride, but once I get over that hurt, once that smart goes away, holy crap, it isn't about me. It's about Him. That's a major revelation for a lot of people. Then you start to revel in that. Mm-hmm. I'm His achievement.
You know, and you think about that, too, and let me contextualize it real quick. There's a passage in the New Testament where I think it's when Jesus is getting baptized or something, and God basically speaks, and He says, this is my Son in whom I'm well pleased,
yeah.
or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you think about that. That's Jesus. That's the Son of God dying for the entire world, past, present, and future. And God's the highest praise God can give Him is, I'm pleased with Him, you know?
Yeah.
So
yes.
In that regard, if He's pleased with His Son and He considers us an achievement, meaning a point of, I don't know, not pride per se, but certainly something that God can say, you know, hey, you know, well done.
Yeah.
That's huge praise.
Yeah.
From the creator of the universe, that's huge praise.
Yeah, from the creator of the universe.
Yeah.
We're His achievement. He actually cares enough
mm-hmm.
to achieve something through us.
That's really something. I've never really put all that together and thought about it in that way. So make sure you thank Mrs. Zender there for us, because that's an incredible way to kick things off.
I will.
Wow. Well, we got a lot of calls already. We can do this as soon as we come back from this first break, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
All right. I do want to give out your website, martinzender.com, and when we come back from the break, if you would, tell us what you got going on, because I know you and I, we talk all the time, even if we don't do shows together all the time, and I know you've got lots of things going on with the website, and I'd like you to maybe give us a little brief overview of what's going on with the site at some point today.
Sure,
before,
love to.
Before we wrap up the show, because it's a great resource. You've got lots of great stuff on there, correspondence. People have asked you questions, and certainly information on all the books and CDs and audio tapes. I mean, you are a machine, my friend, and you're putting out outstanding material to make us all sort of understand things a little bit better. And like you said just now, this is not a personal affront against people who maybe feel proud of what they've accomplished, but understand that you're clay in the potter's hands. Okay, it doesn't take anything away from you for God to have the glory. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back, folks. Glad to have you with us here today on this global broadcast, courtesy of the Republic Broadcasting Network. We call it Frankly Speaking Radio, and that's what we're doing here today. It's what we're doing always. Our good friend, my spiritual advisor, Martin Zender, is on the line. Martin, welcome back.
Thanks, Frank.
That's not really fair, I guess, to call you my spiritual advisor. It sounds like one of these like crazy sort of celebrity cult things, doesn't it?
Yeah, I know what you meant.
I know you know.
I just hand out the information that I myself received, checked everything out for myself, as you do. You don't believe everything I say. People don't believe everything
nope.
I say. I don't believe everything I hear. I go and look it up, and I say, you know, that's right.
That's where it's at.
It rings true to me. It's rung true to you, mm-hmm. and that's the Spirit of God. That's what is in common between us, Frank, is the Spirit
yeah.
of God, and that links everybody together who sees sees these great truths.
Well, like I said, you know, you've been an amazing friend to me, and you're always there to answer my questions about Scripture, and I call you a lot and ask you things like that. So I appreciate you, brother.
Happy to be used by God. Let's take a call and
okay.
see where it goes.
Sounds good. Folks, our number, 800-313-9443. Let's begin with Drew in Arkansas. Drew, welcome to the show.
Okay. I know we've only got about 3 minutes before the break. So let's start off with a lighter side. First of all, Frank, I disagree. It's not a billion-dollar industry in the Bible and the religious book sport. I totally disagree. It's a trillion-dollar business.
Yeah.
On the lighter side there, Martin, and you, Frank, y'all, Bad Hair Day mentioned yesterday about
yes.
Einstein and Mark Twain,
uh-huh.
Two of my idols. I disagree with the genius that y'all call of them being ugly old men and that you had to be ugly to be a genius because
okay.
Nikola Tesla, 6'4", 190 pounds, was an extremely handsome man through his lifetime.
I see.
And he died with a full head of hair, combed, groomed, nice mustache, excellent gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
And the pictures that I've seen of him all the way up until the last 5 years of his death. Now,
see, I thought you were going to take offense because you want to be a genius too, but you have no hair.
I couldn't hold a thimble to Einstein or Nikola Tesla.
Yes.
And
Martin, Drew has no hair, just so you know. That's
just, I shaved my head, I beg your pardon.
Oh, okay.
I don't have to worry about the bad hair day. I just have to worry about the razor doing nicks and cuts. Martin, great spirits have always encountered violent opposition from mediocre minds. Albert Einstein said that.
Ah, I like that.
Well, that's...
So, there's my...
Mediocre minds are those that that have not yet encountered the truth with an open heart.
And that's why I brought that to your point of view, so you could remember that there were people that are geniuses of the past that are long pushing up daisies that are on your side with that comment there. And I don't put you in the category of a bad hair day, but I have a good an extra set of razors if you want some.
Thanks for the help.
My friends call me the King and I, Yul Brynner, or Telly Savalas, or Mr. Clean. So I don't have bad hair days in that sense.
That's funny.
That's on the light side.
Okay.
And in the more serious side, I would like to ask some questions about your predestination statements yesterday.
Let's get it started.
Yeah, let's get into that.
You made the comments that of predestination, and if God had everything predestined, we would be predestined to be good and go to heaven, or we would be predestined to be bad and go to hell. Now, we all know that God knew us before we were in the womb.
Mm-hmm.
First, and secondly, let everybody know out there that I am a believer. I have taken my belief from the Israelis of the Alps. I don't form a sect in the religious churches of today or even in the immediate past. I am a believer from the way past, before the written word was put in the common language. With that said, with your comments yesterday, I don't see any way to maintain the standard Christian idea that God is in charge without saying that ultimately he is responsible for both salvation and damnation. And I think that it's important to realize that he does not remove our human responsibility. And you took my fire in classifying that from Ephesians 2:10.
Yeah.
We're going to have to hold on here. Drew, we'll let you finish contextualizing this question, and Martin's under your response. And more phone calls, of course, folks, when we return in about 3 minutes with more Frankly Speaking Radio. Stay with us. Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here today. It's fine Thursday morning. We are joined by author, researcher, and just all around heck of a good guy, Martin Zender. Welcome back, sir.
Thanks, Frank.
Thank you. And phone lines are lit up. People calling from all over the place. We're going back to Drew in Arkansas. Drew, go ahead and finish your question.
Yes, in enlightening the question from the Israelis of the Alps, the book of Ephesians from their shell writings that were written on shale in 1016 that the Catholic Church tried to destroy, specifically states that God created us as clay to walk the earth, okay, and do good works, which he had basically prepared so we could walk with him and his son. Now, with that said, predestination, going to predestination, double predestination in its purest sense bothers me. But in clarifying that, in bringing the question to point, is that there seems to be an oversimplification of this task in that double predestination. As an artist, being God, being the artist and creator of all of us, I feel that that is a violation of the scriptural assurance that God wants me to come to him. That does not mean that I want to save God from taking responsibility for salvation and damnation, like I think what his name Calvin said. Mm-hmm. I think God is responsible for both. With the Reformed tradition in general, I affirm that Christ died for my sins and my soul. So my question specifically is, where does predestination break from this oversimplification to give me not necessarily free will, but a classic choice.
Okay, would you mind listening off the air to the answer?
No, I don't mind listening off the air.
Okay, good.
I'll let y'all go. Take care.
Hey, thanks, Drew. Excellent, excellent point. Martin, go ahead.
I want to ask everybody. I want to ask everybody, what's the opposite of responsibility?
Irresponsibility.
Correct.
Okay.
Next question. Is anyone comfortable with the doctrine of the irresponsibility of God?
I think that's terrifying.
I think that's terrifying. Therefore, God is responsible for everything. That takes care of part one. As far as salvation and damnation goes, Drew, I think, is under the misunderstanding that God purposely sends some to eternal torment. But the doctrine of eternal torment, as we have talked about before on this show, is a false teaching based on mistranslations of Scripture. It makes God out to be a monster that I'll love you as long as you love me. How's that for the love of God? I'll love you as long as you love me. As long as you love me, I'll love you. If you turn on me, I'm going to... Oh, boy, am I going to get you. You're going to wish you had never been born.
Mm-hmm.
That's not the God that I know, and that's not the God of Scripture either.
Okay.
I'm not talking about some happy little viewpoint of an ignorant grandmother who just thinks God is just so nice. No, I'm talking about a revelation of mm-hmm. God concerning Jesus Christ, what His Son did on the cross for all humanity. And this truth has been twisted by mistranslations, so on and so forth. To put that in a nutshell, there are some people who are going to live for the upcoming eons. There's two eons ahead, the kingdom, the new heavens, and the new earth. God appoints some people. He saves them now and appoints them to live during that time.
Mm-hmm.
Other people, he, quote, damns. In other words, he just doesn't give belief to some people today. I admit that God's responsible for everything. Therefore, I would have to say that God is responsible for either giving people belief or withholding it from them. If he can give it to one person, he can give it to everybody, and he will eventually. But for now, he purposely hardens certain people in order to enact his intentions. He hardened people like Judas, like Pontius Pilate, like Pharaoh, as I said yesterday, to provide himself with opposition. Is he going to eternally torment these people? If he did, he would be an unrighteous God because he himself hardened them. And Paul presents this so-called problem in Romans chapter 9. It's not a problem if you're aware of the time element in God's plan. They're not, quote, damned for eternity. They just miss out on these coming ages. It's the mistranslation of the word eternal for the Greek word Ionian, which has to do with ages of time.
Hmm.
So you can be much more comfortable with God's pardoning people now, not giving certain people belief now, when you have this time element in mind. Oh, okay, it's just for this period. It's not going to be forever. He's going to use them as he will. They're eventually going to see the truth at what Paul calls the consummation,
mm-hmm.
and then we're much more comfortable with that now. God wants us to come to him. How does that match up with predestination? I'd like to share a personal story. Happened to me just this morning. Do I have time before the break?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, I don't know why people have a problem with it. Apparently, this is hard for people. It's not hard for me. Maybe if I explain it, people will get it. I can somehow walk through life like I'm walking through my room right now, and I can sense that God is animating me. I have this sense that all is of God, and I know that He is causing me to breathe. He's making my heart go. He's activating all the neurons in my brain to be able to talk to you. If I drop my pen, he caused me to do it. If I take a step to the right, he caused it. If I take a step to the left, he caused it. And I'm doing that now as I'm talking to you. And I have this sense, maybe it's a gift, that God is doing everything. Now, I was doing this morning, and I'm walking around, and I walk in front of my mirror here. I have a mirror set up, and I'm wearing a sleeveless shirt today, and I looked at my arms, and I work out. I have fairly decent-looking arms, and I said, wow, you're looking good today, Martin. Look at that. I'm flexing my triceps, and I'm flexing. I'm going, you know what? All that hard work's paid off. You're awesome, man. And I, for some reason, I have no contradiction. I can do that. Or I can read my own book, which I do sometimes. When
yeah.
I get down, I pick up my own book once in a while. I mean, I read other books, but once in a while I'll pick up my own book.
Sure.
This is great. I can admire it, and I can feel good about myself, and there's no contradiction between that and knowing that it's God that's doing all that. It's His achievement. For some reason, this is really hard for people. It's like this huge chasm. They just can't jump the chasm between coming to Christ and Christ enabling you to come to Him.
I see what you're saying.
It took me a second,
but I get it now.
Jesus said, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him, right? That's what Jesus said. No one can come to me. And then in the very next the next section of Scripture, he says, come to me, all you who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. That is the dilemma that Drew was up against. How can Jesus say, no one can come to me, and then he says, come to me? For some reason, I don't see a problem here. When he says, come to me, people assume that that gives them an opportunity to achieve something for God. I'm going to come to him. This is what they don't realize, is that when Jesus says, come to me, it gives God an opportunity to achieve something through the people who come to him.
I see.
You see what I'm saying? It's an opportunity. It goes back to how we started the show.
Right.
We're God's achievement. And so when Jesus says, come to me, there's another scripture that says, no one is seeking out God. Guess what? This is impossible for man. Jesus said, the apostles asked him, who can be saved if what you're telling us is true? Jesus said, with man it's impossible, with God all things are possible. He animates the clay, and the clay follows God. And just because you're doing it, you can't lose consciousness of the fact that it's him doing it through you because it's his achievement. We've got to get rid of this idea that the salvation, this coming toward Christ, is our achievement. I look at my arms, great arms, Martin. That's God's achievement, because I'm clay. That bicep is clay in his hand.
That's right.
Not only my physical body, but my moral frame. Any kind of morality I have, it's his achievement. I rejoice in it. I thank God for it. But it's his achievement all the way through.
You know, I gotta jump in here and say this. You've already covered a little bit of backstory here as far as your book, Martin's Ender Goes to Hell, which talks about the doctrine of eternal torment, and I encourage people to pick that up. You just now have actually covered some other ground as well, which is the Flawed by Design book that you put out. And in that book, what you basically say is that God breaks us down so that way he has more glory when we're lifted up to accomplish things that would be deemed virtually impossible by human standards. And at the time, you and I had talked about Lance Armstrong. Mm-hmm. You know, here's a guy that had cancer, and that's all people really talked about. They're like, man, that guy has cancer. You know, he beat cancer. Never mind the fact that he won 7 straight Tour de France races. I mean, it's huge, right? And I don't think Lance Armstrong necessarily is a big a Bible reader. I seem to recall him saying that he wasn't truly. But, you know, that doesn't mean anything. What you've got here is a situation where human beings are able to overcome extraordinary obstacles. I mean, you hear things like, the guy was working on his car and the car fell on him, you know, the jack split, and then his, like, 2-year-old daughter went and picked the car up with one hand. You know, stuff like that. I mean, these things happen, maybe not that exact example, but they do happen. They don't happen because of, like, adrenaline. I mean, that's truly a God accomplishing a great thing that can't be explained by human standards, and it's done for a reason, and I think you've just exemplified that. And really, like I said, man, I wasn't quite sure where you were going with that, but, you know, you tied it all together, and it makes it make a lot of sense.
Well, you know, God does these things, and he might use adrenaline to do it.
Sure.
Adrenaline is a tool in his hand. I'm going to accomplish this, and I'm going to send the adrenaline coursing. God does all these things.
Yeah,
he sends
exactly.
Adrenaline. And let me ask you this question.
Okay.
Why would God break anybody down in the first place? If I'm saying God is responsible, which is a healthy doctrine, if you ask me,
because
the opposite is God is irresponsible. Somebody want to call and tell me, God, I believe God is irresponsible. Somebody want to call and say that on the air? You're invited to. But God breaks us down in order to make us realize these things that we never realized before.
Right.
Oh, my Lord, it's him. He's the one that's doing this. And because human pride is as it is, which God is responsible for as well, for our benefit, he breaks us down. Not for him, not because he has some sadistic streak, I'm going to break this guy down. No, because some people are graciously granted to see their clayhood and to appreciate his hands on the clay. You know, we could say it's control, God's control. I prefer to say his hands on the clay.
Well, yeah, and that's a good point, too. I mean, the clay does not create itself into pottery or artwork or any sort of usable vessel. A cartoonist, he doesn't just put a pen on the, set it on the desk and say, animate yourselves, people. There has to be, involvement there. There has to be, as you said, responsibility and very, very well put. I'm with you. I mean, there might be the people out there who think that bad things happen to us as punishment from God, a very much a Catholic way of thinking, but that doesn't make it so, just because the Catholic Church teaches that, as we know. You want to take more calls?
Sure, let's go to the phone again.
Let's do it. Mike in Minnesota, welcome to the program. Okay,
Mike
dropped off. Sean in Indiana, welcome to the show. Hello, Sean.
Hello,
Sean. Yes, welcome to the show.
First of all, there was a slight mistake. I'm in Tennessee, not Indiana.
Okay, Sean in Indiana.
Tennessee.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
I wanted to say that I agree with you on the predestination 100%. And one of the things that I wanted to say was that my pastor was talking to me on this, and I was looking through the Old Testament, and I came across, I believe it's in Ecclesiastes, where the famous line where it says, there's a time for everything, basically, is what he's saying in short.
Mm-hmm.
It also says, shortly after that, that I, the Lord, create several different things. One of the things it says is I, the Lord, create good, and also create evil.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my pastor is a Associate Reformed Presbyterian, and I'm a member of the church. And the moment I said this, he got this funny look in his eye, and he said, now, wait a minute. You better be real careful where you go with that, or you'll be treading on the ground of many heretics.
Wow. Was he going to torch you up there? Burn you in front of the church?
I have no idea.
Wow.
But it says right there that God creates evil.
Mm-hmm.
All right? And the way he explained it was rather interesting. Gives some people pause when I mention this.
Okay.
He said that with Satan in the world, all God has to do to create evil, quote unquote, is to step back. All right?
Okay.
In the event that God steps back like that, withdraws himself from the human being, then since the human being is fallible, they're naturally going to do evil, right?
Sure.
All right. So since the fall of man, when God draws back from a person, they're automatically going to do evil. Now, that was his explanation for it. But what he was losing sight of, and my dad and I talked on this point quite a lot, was God's creating that.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Keep in mind, God's stepping back. All right?
Well,
God withdraws himself, it's God doing it, right?
Okay, keep going.
Anyway, I wanted to put that in there.
Okay.
The other thing is, I had a debate about 4 years ago, a rather successful one, on the predestination and election subject. And some of the passages I used were Romans 8, verses 28, verses 28 through 30.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's the classic one.
Yeah.
And everybody you talk to who uses the predestination argument knows this, I'm sure.
Mm-hmm. Hang on a second now. Sean in Tennessee or Indiana, whichever Sean you might be. Hang on a second. We'll be right back, folks, in about 3 minutes. We'll be right back. Welcome back. Glad you're here, my friends. Tail end of hour number three already. 55 minutes into the interview. Can you believe it? Martin Zender, welcome back.
I can't believe it.
I'm telling you, man. What's the deal?
I don't know what the deal is.
You know, we used to do, gosh, yeah, I mean, I've always done 4 hours on the air, but I've just, you know, sometimes it just goes by so fast, and that's how it is with you. Well, let's let Sean, from an undisclosed location, welcome back to the show, Sean. Go ahead and finish your point, and then we'll let you listen to Martin's response off air.
All right. Romans 8, verses 28 through 30 says, and, by the way, verse 28 is one of the most misconstrued verses out there. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All right? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren, speaking of Christ. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, you notice something about the tense here? The tense used is a past tense.
That's right.
All right? So this is something that's already happened, as far as the apostle is concerned.
I'm looking at... Now, how did your version read? Was it all these things in the past? He did,
yeah.
He justified, he glorified, he just. Is that how
yeah.
it reads?
That's
okay,
how it reads.
Well, that's poor translation, because actually this is the aorist tense, I believe, in the Greek. The aorist tense is a present truth. It's an ongoing thing. In fact, I'm looking at the concordant literal New Testament, and glad you brought this up, because this makes a whale of a difference. I'm reading this in my concordant literal New Testament, which I trust as being pretty close to the Greek. Whom he foreknew, he designates beforehand. Now, whom he designates, these he calls. Whom he calls, these he justifies. It's a present tense thing.
Right.
It has no tense. The aorist tense in the Greek, the prefix a comes from not or no, and the rest of that verse comes from horizon. So no horizon is this tense in the Greek. In other words, it has a timeless application.
Right.
And I think that's what we're seeing here. It's not the fact that he did something. In a sense, he did. But in a sense, we're seeing the working out of it today on a continuous basis.
Well, if you break it down, even in the King James Version, which is what I'm using, it's not the best version out there, but when you break it down, you also get that impression. That it's happened, it's happening, and it's continuing to happen.
Good point. I like that. Yeah, I can live with that. I mean, yeah. I think that's right.
Okay.
I think that's good. Thanks.
Thank
Drew.
You, Sean.
Now, there
very
you
much.
Know, I mean, Sean, I'm going to answer your question about evil. As soon, you know.
Yeah.
So, thanks for calling.
Yes, thank you very much. We got about 30 seconds to get started. Go ahead, Martin.
Well, we can only get started there. Yeah. When he told his pastor that about evil. And his pastor said, you better be careful about that. I thought that was pretty funny, because isn't that interesting? The Christian religion thinks that they're God's PR man. They're going to protect him from his own pronouncements, you know? God himself said, I created evil.
Okay.
Like, don't say that.
What he meant to say was...
We're going to spin this for
you. We need to have
God.
A press conference on this.
We need to spin it before
what
we...
What is the definition of is, Martin?
Yes. We're going to look into this. We're going to look into this.
All right. That sounds good. Folks, give us about a minute and a half here as we go to station identification for our affiliates. We will resume the phone calls, the fun, and, of course, the genius of Martin Zender. And, of course, more frankly speaking, radio. Stay with us.